He writes for The Athletic. I've known him, God, over 20 years, and a great baseball man. He's in St. Louis, and that is Mark Saxon. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Marty. I think that guy made some good points. If I were a Giants fan, I would want to hold on to Madison Bumgarner too, I think.
I know. I'm telling you, it's almost like one of those dilemmas that you try to, you know, Rubik's Cube here. You're trying to twist it every which way and figure out what works the best. But the part of this, and I'm glad to have you on today because, you know, when the Cardinals were here, they were really struggling. And I said, boy, this team, how are they ever going to do it? And here we go again. St. Louis baseball, they've won six straight. Goldschmidt's homered in five straight. And they look like they've turned the corner. So I want to get your opinion because that's part of the Giants' question here. What do they do? They got to look who's ahead of them, and the Cardinals are ahead of them.
Yeah, you know, really what happened with the Cardinals is starting about May 1st, May 2nd, they just stopped hitting for a solid two and a half months. And really, like, if you look up and down the lineup, everybody was just way below their career norms. You know, the guy you mentioned, Paul Goldschmidt, you know, really first and foremost in that group. You know, for a lot of the season, you know, his OPS was under 800, where, you know, we're all used to seeing him up around 900. The power wasn't there for a while. Now it's just really coming on. And, you know, you saw this guy come through San Francisco a lot of times, and he's just a great hitter. And for whatever reason, we see this happen a lot when a guy goes to a new team. They just put pressure on themselves or they're uncomfortable for whatever reason. But he's really settled in, and, you know, the team has just kind of taken their cue from him. He and Paul DeJong, actually, have just been tearing the cover off the ball, and they're really, really hot right now, and they are making a surge. And I think it's a good time because the front office was really contemplating, as you said, you know, in a kind of similar situation with the Giants, they probably would have contemplated even selling off some pieces, and now they're squarely in that buyer's market. So not uncommon to change positions, but when it's driven from the clubhouse and the players, it's kind of exciting for the fan base to see that happen.
No, it's great. Mark Saxon with us from The Athletic. And you know, it's so funny because when the Cardinals were here, you know, Will Smith seemed to be, you know, well, boy, he would fit well with the Cardinals. They need a lefty reliever. I can't see the Giants trading with the Cardinals now unless they got back a Bader or a Jose Martinez, I don't know, or someone, you know, who could play. Do you think the Cardinals are still in the market for someone like a Will Smith?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. I mean, they'd love to pry him off the Giants roster, whether, you know, they've been talking to the Giants about Will Smith since the winter meetings. But he's obviously an elite relief pitcher, whether you're talking to lefty or righty. The Cardinals' preference definitely is to get a lefty because aside from Andrew Miller, they've had a really difficult time getting a second guy, and they'd love to have one. They don't have a lefty either in the rotation or aside from Miller. They haven't found that second lefty for the pen. I did hear from a source yesterday that indicated they've also done some, you know, research on Tony Watson and, you know, whether the Giants would consider sort of a, not a sell, but a, you know, a baseball move that could help them while potentially giving up a piece. I don't know, but one of the hesitations with Watson is the escalator clauses in that contract, which could see him make, I think, another $3.5 million this year, which is a lot of money when you're talking about a left-handed reliever. So whether the Cardinals have the appetite to take on that kind of payroll for that role, I don't know. But they've looked into it, and they're intent on adding a piece because, you know, again, this team is suddenly making a case that it deserves that, and it could be one pitcher away from, you know, making a run here. And I think the main difference between the two teams as we talk about it is the Cardinals are lucky enough not to play in the same division as the Dodgers because really? Do you go all in for a wild card? I mean, it's an interesting kind of question, isn't it? You really haven't qualified for the playoffs. If you win a wild card, you've qualified for sort of a 50% discount and a chance to make the playoffs. So,
well, but the thing is, if you've got lefties, you can play against the Dodgers. And, you know, I'm not saying you're going to beat them, but, you know, if you've got Lester and Hamels and, you know, people like that, maybe, you know, you got a shot at it. And the Giants have lefties, you know, potential lefties to go against the Dodgers. But what would the Cardinals give up? Because the Giants need, as you say, they need, you heard me say it, they need a hitter. They need someone who can walk into the outfield that doesn't have back spasms or is an eight-year minor leaguer. Or is a guy who can only, you know, Tyler Austin, who can only play first base, and they're lucky to have him in the outfield. Well, do the Cardinals have someone they would part with for that piece for the bullpen?
Well, I mean, I guess if you're talking about major league pieces, you know, that would help them this year. It doesn't really automatically jump out as you know, a match. I mean, you mentioned Harrison Bader. The problem with Harrison Bader is he really hasn't established himself as a major league hitter. He's just a phenomenal center fielder. He's an elite defensive outfielder. And, you know, he was fine last year, but if you look really dig in and look at the splits, he's never been able to hit breaking balls or even really lay off them. He's very susceptible to breaking balls. And, you know, I don't know, you know, the Giants have had pretty good success, it seems to me, just reviewing my memory of kind of getting some guys who are questionable offensively and getting some contributions from them. He's a heck of an athlete. I think there is some upside in there. Again, he's still young. You never know when guys are going to kind of figure out that last piece, right? And he could be an interesting player. I do think in the right deal, the Cardinals would consider giving up a Harrison Bader. Mm-hmm. Jose Martinez getting a little bit older, but heck of a hitter, a heck of a contact hitter. Not a lot of home run power, but great gap power. Kind of the opposite, really, of Harrison Bader. He's all bat, no glove. He's kind of, a lot of people think he's a DH, you know, kind of looking for a spot. But, you know, and then in the minor leagues, I think it's tough because the Cardinals' top prospects are in the lower levels at this point, and I doubt a team like the Giants, you know, is looking for like a high A player. The Cardinals' top prospect is Nolan Gorman, who's a big power-hitting third baseman, but he really only a few weeks ago made it to high A, so I think he's more of a long-term kind of project, but I do think he's going to be really an impact player in the long run.
Mm. Mark Saxon with us, The Athletic, covers the Cardinals. Wasn't there Carlson, another?
Right. Yeah, Dylan Carlson out of Elk Grove in Sacramento has really, really been a solid player. Struggled a little bit last year, but is now at Double A, and he's a switch hitter, good athlete. Tremendous, you know, he's going to fill out a little bit more and have even more power, but he's also a very intriguing outfielder. I think the Cardinals really need to hold on to those two guys just because, you know, if you look at them, they just haven't developed that position player star really since like an Albert Pujols. I mean, Matt Carpenter has been very, very good, tailing off here, but he was sort of a late bloomer, and so they didn't get that sort of 6, 7, 8 year run that you're looking for out of these guys. So they've really been searching for a long time to develop that kind of franchise position player. They've been much better at developing young pitching than they have hitters.
So it's July 31st. We're getting close to 1 o'clock, and all of a sudden they announce the Cardinals have made a trade. What do they get?
You know, they're under a lot of heat here because they have not made a deadline deal since 2014. You know, if you think of that if you remember that John Lackey deal where they sent Alan Craig, mm-hmm. that turned out to be a great deal for them. But they've made some big trades, but they've been in the off season, and I think part of the reason for that is they just haven't given the front office, like, you know, motivation to do something because they've sort of been mediocre at this time of year. This year's different, though. I mean, they're sending a clear signal. I think they're going to get that lefty. I think they're going to get that reliever, mm-hmm. probably a lefty. They've made some deals with Tampa Bay and with Miami. I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe a Jalen Beeks, you know, that kind of player. They'd really like to get a player with some club control. And, you know, I know that maybe Tony Watson doesn't fit that bill, but I think if the fallback position is a rental, he might be a guy they would look at.
Boy, terrific. Great insight. So if you're sort of bullish on the Cardinals, they've come around?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, they've done a lot of this against the Pirates and Reds. They're entering a stretch now. We're going to find out who they are. They're playing the Astros this weekend. Then they have to play the A's out there. Then they play the Dodgers. And then they play I'm blanking on so a very good. Oh, the Cubs as well here at the deadline, which will be really interesting because both, you know, front offices are also digging behind the scenes to try to add and make the teams better. I wouldn't say I'm bullish. Again, we have to see who they really are. Mm-hmm. But they're really not a team built around elite pitching. So they have to hit to win. If they can keep this up this last, you know, few weeks here, I do think they're better than what they've shown these first few months.
Oh, great. Well, love having you on, Mark. This is going to be fun. And I know you're coming out to Oakland. It's a Saturday-Sunday series with the A's. That'll be a lot of fun. Are you coming out for that one?
I'm not, actually, because it's a two-game series on the weekend, and we don't have a lot of traffic, but I'll be joining the team in L.A. Unfortunately, I'll miss you, Marty, which kills me.
You get your old seat back at the Coliseum. Come on.
Oh, I'd love it. I love that place.
I love
watching what the A's are doing. They always get back in it, don't they?
Well, you and Murph and Howard Bryant, you know, those are my early days, and you guys taught me a lot about whatever I could do or am doing, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, you get that gang back together, I'm there in a second.
Okay, all right. Mark, thanks so much. Thank you.
Okay, Marty, have a great Saturday.
All right, that's Mark Saxon in St. Louis. Boy, another team that's right there, and they're going to do something. Tony Watson, I kept thinking Will Smith. Tony Watson, our man, Raph, our philosopher. We're going to try to get him on today if we can. We never got his interview from last week on.